This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
It's been about 20 months since the horrific, barbaric attack by Hamas on Israel. The resultant war has been devastating at every level, and every innocent life lost is a tragedy. But at the heart of the war is the fact that there are still 59 hostages that were stolen from Israel to be used as bargaining chips by Hamas, while being kept in horrific conditions in Gaza. Rabbi Aaron Zulberg, rabbi at the Beis Shul, together with the JNF, have started a project to bring former hostages to South Africa for respite and healing. The project also gives the opportunity to meet with these incredible people. I'm delighted to have Rabbi Zulberg as my guest now to tell me more about this initiative. Rabbi, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Cherise, thank you so much for having me.
Rabbi, the work that you've done has been absolutely incredible, and I just thought this was a week of Yom HaZikaron, when we mourn those that we lost, and every year it seems to get more poignant and more sad, and we realize what it is Israel is fighting for. How did this initiative start?
So October 7th happened, and we, like many others, wanted to do something. And we really tried to do whatever we could do that would be of value or of meaning. And in the days that followed October 7th, we came up with ideas of sending goods to Israel, and we put together an initiative, and we sent a massive amount of supplies to not only those fighting in the south, but also civilians in the south of Israel. But a few weeks after that initiative was done, and we still wanted to do more. And the challenge in South Africa, the rand being what the rand is, we couldn't really compete with America and Europe from a donations perspective. And we also wanted to do something that could be quite inclusive for our community. So we thought of the idea that when the hostages would be released, let us bring them here and give them a break from the madness of the world that was Israel specifically at that time. And so the project was born.
You know, you speak about the madness that was in Israel at the time, and I think the trauma for Israel is continuing so long as there are hostages in Gaza. And the barbarism, I think, that took place, I think, is what shocked us.
Yeah, look, it's interesting you say that. Even from the perspective of the hostages that have been released, almost all of them have said in a similar way that until all the hostages are returned, they can't actually find their own healing. And I think on a certain level, they speak for all of the Jewish people. As long as there are hostages in Gaza, no one can really begin to heal from what took place on October 7th.
Now, let's talk about the hostages that you brought, because I don't know all of them, and I had been fortunate enough to meet with some of them. But who was the first hostage you brought out?
Sapir Cohen.
Okay.
So she came together with her brother. She was part of the first deal done. She spent, if I'm not mistaken, 55 days. It was a remarkable trip. For us, a tremendous learning curve as well. I'll say this, that when the project first was born, or the idea was born, it wasn't that easy to actually pull it off. And we learned very quickly that it really required everyone who was involved to actually interact as people and not to go at it from an institutional perspective. The truth is that the project itself is a partnership between the base and the JNF, but there's certain individuals who were involved from the very beginning that without them, we would never have been able to do this. In particular, Ronit Beleli, Saul and Batsheva Jasinovsky, my brother Moshe, my wife Gila, Michael Kranzdorf. But I mention the people and not just the institutions, because it's through them that we were able to actually do this. Because the people in Israel, and specifically the family members of these hostages, didn't want to speak to institutions.
Yeah, it makes sense. We brought out just before Israel Apartheid Week last year, two survivors from the Nova Festival. And the level of trauma they were still dealing with, okay, I mean, as you said, the trauma is not going to go over until the hostages have been freed. So we're in the middle of the trauma. It's not like we can reflect back or we're getting help. And their level of nervousness, and every time a truck drove past, the anxiety. So it's not business as usual when you're bringing out hostages or people who've experienced that amount of trauma. So I understand what you're saying, where it's a learning curve. And I'd like to know kind of where you've grown over the 18 months, how you've grown.
So look, first of all, meeting these people and interacting with them and then reflecting after each trip has been an unbelievable experience, to say the least. You know, just going back to Sapir Cohen for a moment, you know, meeting her, we had no idea what to expect. And then we were surprised, or pleasantly surprised, if one can use such a description, at her tremendous strength and her resilience and her capacity to see the good in the world and to want a better world, even after she went through what she went through. And we've seen that again and again and again. And it's become, it's gotten more dramatic as we've got to meet people that have spent more time in more difficult situations, if one can describe it as such, than even she went through. So it's really been an experience of really learning how we need to appreciate what we have. We need to appreciate our Judaism. We need to appreciate Israel. We need to appreciate each other, and it's really been beyond.
Rabbi, in terms of, I mean, I know you've had lots of different families. I know Lani Shook, is that correct? You brought out her parents. Shani Luke's parents. You've brought out, I'm not going to get all the names right, but many of those who were suffered, the first person to talk about her sexual abuse experience.
Yeah.
Is there a common thread that runs between all the survivors?
So it's interesting. Look, I don't think that I've got enough of a perspective to say conclusively one way or another. But in all of the survivors that we've had the opportunity to meet, an amazing common thread is their tremendous inner strength, their resilience, their optimism, and their ability to find meaning or purpose in their suffering. And quite literally, each and every single one of them has had this as a commonality. I'll just say we've had the tremendous opportunity to bring. We've done 10 trips since October 7th. And each one has been, you know, amazing, and each one has been different. Nonetheless, that definitely is a commonality.
Yeah, finding meaning in suffering, which is certainly my experience when I visited Israel recently and again spoke to many of the survivors. You've brought out 10 people, 10 groups of people. You also take them on safari, what they would call safari.
Yes.
We would call it the bush experience,
yes.
Maybe. Tell me a little bit about why? Why do you do that?
Okay, so first off, the project itself, again, was and is about respite and healing. So even though we've had amazing talks and other communal benefit type of activities, the primary goal was and is and will remain to bring these people here for a healing experience, a South African embrace. And if they're open to talking, then great. If they don't want to talk, it's also fine. We've had people here who visited but didn't speak. In fact, no one is even really aware that they were in South Africa because the project isn't about that community engagement. That being said, the community engagement has been unbelievable. Talks ranging between the smallest talks at around 500, the biggest talk at 2,000. Yeah, it's been something. You know, talking about the bush experience, and I'll just tell you a little bit about, there isn't one trip that we offer everyone. Each trip is tailor-made depending on what they have a preference towards and what we're able to do and the time of the year, the seasons, etc. So basically, if one could summarize it, we bring them ideally to Johannesburg. From here, we send them to the bush. which in general is the Kruger, but it has been as well Madikwe, and it's also been the Pilansberg, and they go and they have that bush experience. We've also sent after that to Zimbali in Natal, as well as to Cape Town, and the trips range in size, but between 10 days or so to up to 2 weeks, and they get to have basically a 2 to 3 city multifaceted South African holiday experience.
And that respite, I imagine, is so appreciative. And you talk about the fact that some of them come and just allow them the opportunity. How difficult is it for many of them to talk?
So again, the individuals we've got to meet are already at a stage in their journey where they are much more open to the possibility. That being said, like I mentioned, we have had visitors who weren't ready to talk, even though they had already spoken. Nonetheless, when the timing of the trip happened, they weren't up to it, and so no talk was arranged. But in general, the ones we've brought have been open to talk and have actually wanted to talk.
I think I also saw some of them from Kibbutz Kfar Azah, with an entire audiovisual experience, virtual reality experience.
Yes.
And I know for them it was the first time they were speaking in English. And both of them said that it was important for their own healing journey to speak, however, irrespective of how difficult it was
very
to
much
do so.
So that particular trip was actually together, that was facilitated by the Zionist Federation, the Israel Center, if I'm not mistaken, what you're referring to. Just to clarify, we have brought both, but primarily our project is about former hostages. So not to belittle at all anyone who survived on that day. But it is fundamentally different, the experience of the former hostages who spent time in Gaza versus those who went through the...
You don't even need to finish that sentence. Rabbi Zolberg, thank you for clarifying that. So you are specifically dealing with former. How do you go about identifying, finding them, reaching out to them? What is the process?
So first of all, I'll mention again Ronit Beleli, who is basically living in Israel. I mean, she's here most of the time, but she lives in Israel, and she's a very kind woman. And she's been on the ground in the south, literally knocking on doors, getting to know people, again, one-on-one, not institutionally. But one-on-one, she got very involved through the Hostage Family Project, was able to meet different people, and relationships are nurtured. The truth is, for us as an initiative, bringing Sapir Cohen really was the clincher in all of it, because somehow, Siyata Dishmaya, help from heaven, we were able to bring her here. In hindsight, it really is help from heaven, because how we managed to pull it off is really a story in and of itself. But once we brought her here, so she became like an ambassador for our project. And each time we bring someone else, they in turn become ambassadors for the project. And we've been able to bring also some very big names. Not to, again, in my mind, everyone involved here is a big name, but some of them have bigger names than others for a variety of reasons. And the result is, because they came on the trip, they spread the word. And so the truth is, Baruch Hashem, we've got planned another 3 trips already finalized for this year. And there are going to be more. There are more. There are others that we're just waiting to finalize which time and when and with who and how. But there are many others that have requested and want to come to South Africa.
It's incredible to know that you've made such a huge contribution and have contributed to the healing of what is such great trauma that we never expected would happen.
Yeah.
I think it's a shock, actually. Like, when you look at those images of people being kidnapped, it's the shock and lack of realization, or realization that this is actually happening, that the disbelief.
Yeah, look, I know I've said it already, I'll say it again, there really are no words. Each story is more horrific than the next, and each story has got so many different layers of experience. It's actually unfathomable what has happened to these people. You know, the last trip that we were involved in, two remarkable former hostages, Almog Marijan and Elia Cohen. When you listen to them speaking, and they spent a lot more time, you know, Almog spent nearly five times the amount of time in Gaza as Sapir, and Elia Cohen spent nearly 10 times the amount of time in Gaza. You listen to their stories and the details and what they went through at the different stages of their captivity. The truth is, it's going to take a long time to gain any real perspective on what they went through and what has actually happened, not only to them, but to the residents in the south of Israel, and in fact, to the Jewish people, the effect of it all.
When I was last in Israel, I met with a mother who has a son still in captivity in Gaza, and she knows he is alive. And I asked her about the psychological warfare being played by Hamas every time a hostage is released when they have those despicable displays of. And she said she had to switch off. She was not able to watch that. And I think the psychological warfare that's been waged is just like downplayed at many levels by the rest of the world while we feel that anxiety.
Yeah, look, the level of psychological warfare and the different ways in which they utilize this weapon, it's beyond terrible. There really are no words to describe it, because another commonality between all of these visitors that we've been blessed to have is this exact point, how they were able to survive through daily different illustrations of such psychological warfare. So, yeah, really, it's unimaginable.
Well, Rabbi Zolberg, thank you for bringing the survivors to South Africa, not only giving them the opportunity to heal, but also to keep in all our minds the reality that there are still hostages stuck in Gaza, and we need to be mindful of that at all the time. So thank you for help raising that awareness, and just congratulations on the incredible work that you do. If anybody would like to be in touch with you or learn more, is there anything they can do?
They can call me. They can call me or send an email. They can go to thebase.org.za. You can find a contact form there. Email me, and I'm happy to chat to anyone who wants to get involved. We'd love them to get involved. We'd love everyone to be involved. We just have to find the right way to actually make that happen. But the truth is, it's been an incredible experience being part of this initiative, and it's been really good for those that we've brought. It's been really good for our community. And as you say, it keeps the awareness of these 59 hostages very much alive and very much in our conversation on a daily basis. That's certainly important. But it also has given us an opportunity to remain connected in a very meaningful way to Israel and what's happening in Israel. So, yeah, please God, the project is able to continue from strength to strength.
Thank you very much. That was Rabbi Aaron Zolberg talking about the work that the base and the JNF are doing in bringing out former hostages.